Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message by Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
And I want to leave you with some good news before we leave this church. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. That's a good one too. Chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says this. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. And we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is what? God is love. Say like you mean it. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. You see that verse where it says in verse 16, the Bible says, we have come to know and believe the love which God has for us. Verse 16, God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in him. That verse popped out at me the other day because the writer, the apostle John, the one who walked with Jesus for 3 years, and after that he carried on his ministry, he gave us a powerful and a very bold declaration in the first few verses we read. He said, in this is love, that God sent his Son into the world. And in making that statement, he's implying that you don't know what love is. That none of us in here really understand love. As a matter of fact, he said, we love because he first loved us, which means that I don't know how to love until I first experienced the God's kind of love. So he says, you know, love is one of those words that, you know, people write books on it, movies about it, plays on it, songs about it. Everybody loves to talk about love. But I really believe majority of the world are totally clueless to what love really is. And you think about it. Because first of all, if God is love, that means I have to know who God is to know what love is. So if I don't know who he is, I don't know what love really is. Another point is, if God is love and it takes faith to know who God is, it also takes faith to know what love is. People don't attach faith to love, but the Bible does it all the way through. That's why the minute you lose faith in a person, you stop loving them. Come on. The minute you lose faith in a person, you can't love them anymore. You need faith to love. You see, love and God are one. And in the Old Testament, how did people know God or come to know who he was? They had to go through a bunch of rules, right? And laws called the commandments. That if we kept all these rules and kept all these commandments, then we can finally come to a place where we know God. But then the good news was that we understood, long story short, no one was able to keep those laws. We've all come short of that glory. We've all sinned. And so here it is. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was sent from heaven to say, hey, you want to know God? You want to have a right standing with him. You want to have a relationship with him. You want to experience his peace, his shalom, his blessings, his promises, his abundance. You want to come back to that place of eternal life that he designed for you to have when he created you before the foundation of the world. In his mind, he planned you and purposed something good for you. You want to come back to that place? Well, that isn't going to happen by trying to keep the law. I'm going to show you a better way. So Jesus Christ comes and says, I'm going to keep the law. The Bible shows us that he walked and he lived a perfect life. He was the Lamb of God. He was totally sinless. He never sinned, didn't come short of that glory. And then after fulfilling the law and keeping the law on our behalf, He went to the cross, paid the penalty for our sins, which the Bible says the wages of sin is death, that the minute we sin, we deserve to die. But God in his mercy spares our lives, and he waits for us to come to a place where we can hear the good news about what he did so that we can use that faith to get back into love. I believe that because God never wanted us to live by the law, he always wanted us to walk in a place called love. The goal of the gospel, the goal of the cross, wasn't just to show you how sinful you were or how messed up you were. The goal of the gospel was to always point you back to how much God loves you. And it's in that place where you experience his love that you can become whole again, that you can become restored again. You see, when we mess up and we make mistakes, we don't feel lovable anymore. You ever did something wrong? How about when you were in school and you tried your best to pass that test, and then you got like a 75 or a 70 or something, maybe a 65, and you tried really hard. Maybe you got a 55. Let's say you just failed. Or you got a 55, but you really tried. And then you got home and you showed your test to your mom or your dad. And you could have told them, Mom, I tried. I really tried my best. But they probably look back at you, that wasn't good enough, son, because you failed. You know why? Because in the world we live in a merit-based society, which means I'm rewarded based on how good I perform. And that was what the law is, religion is, and all the whole world is rooted in that same system, that if you are driving down the highway and you run a red light and the cops pull you over, do you expect to get a ticket? Yes, you do, because you know you've done something wrong. You see, because that's a reward, that's the reward of your behavior. You've done something wrong, you get punished. But the good news of Christ is this. Let's look back at 1 John, go back to verse 9. This is the good news. Everybody say, this is the good news. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might what? Live through him. See, there's a life that comes after you experience the resurrection of Christ. That when you receive Jesus Christ in your life, there is a life that you get to live. And you know, that life that you get to live is not a poor life. It's not a broken life. It's an abundant life. The Bible says, Christ said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. And one of the things we got to realize as Christians and as believers in Christ, or if you're a seeker and you're trying to figure out this thing with Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ said, I've come to give you an abundant life, which means that in Christ, we have the ability to live a more abundant life than the world. I'm supposed to live it up. You're supposed to enjoy your life. Come on. Christ gave you the permission to do that. Do you believe that? So what do you say? But in order for you to do that, I want you to know something about my love. I purposed something for you, that I've given you this grace gift that I want you to experience. How you experience it, verse 10. Verse 10. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Now that word propitiation, it's a big word. Some of us probably don't know what that is. Some translations say atonement. Some say the active mercy for our sins, or the atonement. And what that simply means in one word, it just means the exchange of our sins. The exchange. Everybody say the exchange. So in other words, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says that he became the propitiation, or the exchange for our sins. So we just talked about, how about all those sins we've ever committed? All right, how about not passing your test? How about running that red light or that stop sign? How about, you know, the times we've slipped up in all the different ways that we can number and we can count? We can call out all those different things, the anger, the rage, the attitude, the impatience. How about getting sick? You know, getting sick is not God's plan for our lives. All those things are a residue of sin in our lives. So when the Bible says Jesus went to the cross, here's what he did. He exchanged his value, which was perfection, which was glorious. He said, I'm going to take my glory and I'm going to exchange it for your sins. That's like me going to a jeweler and say, hey, here's 50 pounds of dirt. And put it on the table. Say, hey, I want 50 pounds of gold. What do you think Jacobs is going to do if I walk in his store with that? Call the cops or something. Why? Because it's not an even exchange. Your dirt, even if it's 50 pounds, is not worth 50 pounds of gold. And the Bible says God takes our dirt, our sin, and he took it on the cross with him and said, hey, I'm going to exchange their dirt for my gold, my glory. I'm going to take their shame and I'm going to give them my dignity. I'm going to take their imperfections and I'm going to give them my perfection. I'm going to take their weaknesses and I'm going to give them my strength. I'm going to take their sickness and I'm going to give them my health. I'm going to take their pain and I'm going to give them my remedy. I'm going to take their confusion and I'm going to give them my peace. I'm going to take their worry and I'm going to give them my wisdom. See this? It's called the exchange. It's called the propitiation. He took that which had absolutely no value to him. Your sins have absolutely no value to God. But God says, I'm going to take it from you just so that you can receive my mercy, my grace, my goodness, my glory. And so because of this, the Bible says how this is love. Not that we loved God. You want to know something, Rupert? The reason why people can't receive this love is because we've been trained to think it's something that I got to do to get it. Because again, our world trains us. It's my performance that gets me to get something back. But the Bible says this is love. Not that we loved, but because he loved us. Hallelujah. Not that I'm perfect. You know, some people only love you when they don't get on your nerves. When you don't get on their nerves, right? They only love you when you do everything right. They only love you when you treat them good. But Bible says that you didn't love God and he loved you. Which means it pulls you out the equation. I had nothing to do with it. He just loved me just because that is who he is. God is love. Hallelujah. You need to get excited about that. Yeah. And the world doesn't teach you this love. You got to experience it for yourself. Come on, Jesus was sent to reveal this kind of love to you. And once this love is revealed to you, church, when you understand that God loves you so much, that there's nothing you can do to earn it, nothing that you can do to qualify for it, that it's already yours, and you just say, yes, Lord, I receive that love, something happens to you on the inside. Your heart changes. Your mindset changes. He said in verse 11 that when you experience this love, you start loving people. He said that, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Again, my ability to love is based on me knowing how much he loves me. And in this world, you're going to feel unlovable at times. Sometimes you put yourself down because, you know, I know I was stupid. I know I'd messed up. I know I did this wrong. And you don't feel worthy to be loved that moment. But let me tell you something. Your behavior does not determine whether or not you're worthy to be loved. You're worthy to be loved because Jesus died for you and your sins. That's what determines your worth to God. Come on. And in verse 16, Paul said this. Was it verse 16 that I say that? Yeah. He said what? Verse 16. And we have known and what? Believed. Some of us, we know and believe in God, but we don't believe the love he has for us. That's where the issue is. We don't know and believe the love he has. We know and believe in him. But how much do you know the love and believe in it? It's one thing to know it, and it's another thing to believe in it. Because when you believe it, your life is now lived around that truth. My last point is, see, let's get away from, and this is where we're going as a church, as a community. We got to get away from the sin issue. Sin is not the issue anymore. Jesus dealt with sin once and for all at the cross. Our problem is not with sin. We don't have a sin issue. We have a belief issue. Because once we get our beliefs straight, our lives will straighten up. And the place that we start to get our lives renewed is in believing the love God has for us. Amen. How many of you say, I believe the love God has for me? When you believe the love God has for you, your life begins to become changed. It becomes whole. It becomes healed. Sin is no longer the issue. I want to drive that point home to you. Your belief is. When you don't believe in the love God has for you, you become like a practical atheist. What I mean by that is you believe in a God or you believe in God, but you don't practice walking with God because you treat him as he's a distant God, a distant being, like he's not here, like he's far away. And the reason why he wants you to know his love is because what does love do? What's the goal of love? What's the purpose of love? Anybody can tell me what love, what's the purpose of love? See, we don't know what love is. So I want to help you. What's the purpose of love? Somebody said freedom. To heal. What's that? Who's what? To nurture. All those things are in there. Somebody, you just said the same thing. To bring people together. And what you said, to bring people close. The purpose of love is unity. The goal of love is to bring us, make us one. That's why Jesus said in John 17, he said, the glory you've given me, I've given to them so that they can become one. So that the love you've given me will make them one. That's why when two people love each other, they get married to become one. And when God loved you, he loved you so that you can become one with him. That you're being restored back to that union with God. Hallelujah. Which means God wants to be one with you. He wants to be intimately involved with every affair of your life. Come on. And your life does not take a turn for the better until you start involving God in your life. You believe and you know in him, but I need you to start believing in his love for you, church. Because when you believe in that love, you will have a love to love yourself, a love to love others, a love to love your neighbors, a love to fulfill the word of God, even without you even trying. Because God's love is just motivating you, constraining you, keeping your mind in peace. You want emotional stability? Stop meditating on God's love for you. You want stability in your relationships? Focus on his love. You want for stability in your finances? Focus on his love. Seek ye first his kingdom, and everything else will be added to you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's receive his love. Let's bless the Lord for his love today. Here's what's going to happen. Our sister Kenny is going to come. She's going to do another. She's going to do a final selection for us. She's going to dance before the Lord. And when you hear this song that's being played, I want you to think about what I just taught, what I just said. Think about his love. Think about what happened to our Lord. And then when she's finished, we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to just worship God for his love. And we're just going to pray. I'm just going to ask his love to manifest in this place. Is that all right? So let's get ready as our dance team. They're going to get ready to come. Let's just say, thank you, Jesus. I believe in your love for me. I am a believer. And I am a receiver of that love.
And I love the cross. I love the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, it meant we could come before him with boldness. Because when that veil was torn in two, it gives us this access. It gives us this moment, these moments that we live for, that his presence comes and hovers and we can feel it. Aren't you so thankful for Jesus? Aren't you so thankful for the price that he paid on the cross to pay for our sin and give us mercy and grace? But more than that, I love that he wanted us. He wants us. He loves to be with us.